So now we're going to have a presentation by Bloomberg Sports. I want to introduce Dan Cohn, who's the VP of Bloomberg, who will be showing you some really exciting things that Bloomberg's working on with baseball analytics. And then after that, Dan and Kyle Evans, who's the special assistant to the president and GM of the Cubs, are going to be answering a number of questions and sort of talking back and forth. So first I'll get you over to Dan.
Good afternoon, everybody. I feel like you've had a long weekend here, and now we're approaching the ninth inning, so I will try to close it out quick in three outs and be done. So really quickly, I just wanted to introduce myself, talk a little bit about Bloomberg Sports, who we are, what we do, and the field of baseball and technology. So we have been at these conferences for a few years, and I wanted to bring something new this year to share with you, which is our new video data collection system and platform. Really quickly, before we dive into that, give you a background on Bloomberg Sports. Bloomberg Sports was launched commercially about 3 years ago. Our parent company, Bloomberg LP, is the world's leader in financial data and analytics. And so we've built on those core competencies, data, technology, analytics. And we've launched a business across content, media, and enterprise solutions. And our enterprise solution business, in partnership with MOBAM as well, is servicing the majority of Major League Baseball clubs today. In fact, we have now grown internationally. We're working with nearly half of the Japanese Baseball League. We have clients in Korea, Venezuela, the Dominican Republic, Mexico. So the field of baseball technology and baseball analytics is really growing just way beyond Major League Baseball, which has been very interesting for us to pursue and to partner on. We also have another business on the media and content side, and that really spans the globe. Our operations out of London, the Bloomberg headquarters there, we're focused on video content production, a weekly TV show called Football Dynamics, that looks at the statistical and analytical approach to football in the five major European soccer leagues. We have a product called Match Analysis, which is a real-time predictive analytics app that's being used globally from Asia to the US. We also produce a ton of statistical analytical content that we think fills the niche where maybe some other media providers focus more so on highlights, and some other blogs and websites focus on the deep analytical content. We try to form a mixture of those two. We carry that business all the way from basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, cricket, a whole bunch of different things. And one of the things we just launched this week actually was in partnership with a company called DraftKings is our fantasy projector and our rankings for this year. And our website, if you want to go check it out, it's my shameless quick plug, is bsports.com, www.bsports.com, and you can catch everything there. So what I wanted to share with you today was focused really more so on our professional business and how we're working with 26 out of the 30 Major League Baseball teams, as I mentioned, clubs across the world, on a web-based product where it's the most data-rich, data-intensive baseball solution out there. You can't find more or a greater, more robust data system than the Bloomberg Sports System. And with our partners, we actually customize a ton of these applications. And so we've built applications for our partners' players. We've built applications for the front office. And now we're set to release this final piece, which is a video system that will allow anybody to take video from their iPhone, to take video from a handheld camera, to take video from a broadcast feed, or to take video from a center field camera at the middle of the Cape Cod League. Take all of that video, send it up to the cloud, and almost instantaneously pull that back to the club where their video coordinator will use a video logger. And I'll give you a quick little play of it here. And allow the teams to really capture as much data as they want. So the way the system works, it's our first foray into hardware as well. So it's combining this enterprise solution of scouting data analytics into giving a team now the opportunity and the power to collect their own data in any which way. What you're looking at up here is a broadcast feed. We can actually pull in up to 15 feeds now. So with the advent of something like Instant Replay, you can capture 15 simultaneous feeds and be cutting and logging them in real time. So let's say you're the Chicago Cubs, and you're playing in San Diego. And let's say Theo doesn't make the trip. Theo's at the office, or Theo's at his house on his couch. He can be pulling up his iPad and watching Nao Masumoto, the video coordinator of the Chicago Cubs, being capturing that game in real time in 15 angles. And all of that data is feeding the parent system, which is the enterprise solution system. So that's what we're doing now on the video front. It's pretty impressive, and it's a lot of fun to work on. We're going to be installing that with a few different clubs this season, and we're going to be rolling it out throughout close to a dozen stadiums towards the end of this season into 2015. So I'm going to pause there for 1 second and give you just an example of what you're looking at. This is our logging screen, and as the plays come in, you can pick from a filter or filters of any data set that you want. Do you want to know how many breaths a pitcher takes after he gives up a home run and chart that and log that as a statistic? Maybe. Do you want to look at how many steps does a pitcher take to his left or his right after he falls off the mound in a delivery? And you want to chart that and log that as a statistic or as a data file. Any event that occurs in a baseball game is now customizable and applicable to any tag that you want to put on there. And it feeds right back to an enterprise system, into scouting reports, into data, and into analytics. So I'm going to jump out of the video part here and show you what the rest of the system actually looks like. So this is the Bloomberg Sports generic kind of interface. Many of our partners, teams that work with us, they actually tell us what they want this to look like. And like I said, there's data in here from high school, college, international. One of the biggest pushes for Bloomberg this year has actually been to work in Asia. We have seen a tremendous amount of interest and growth there. So you'll see at the top here, you could actually drop down and change the language into Spanish. A lot of player development. A lot of international teams want this in Japanese and now Korean. That's something we just released about 2 months ago, the entire application in multiple languages. And so what you're looking at right here is the biggest collection of baseball data in the world. Analytical tools, a suite of tools that either teams will tell us or we'll offer a generic suite. And also a highly customized scouting system. And that's an amateur, professional, player development, international scouting system where now teams will actually have the ability to take video, tie it into a scouting system, integrate it into their models and their proprietary analytics, and have it all in a one-stop shop on the iPad or on their phone. One of the other things that actually we just released for the 2014 season, teams came to us and said, listen, our amateur scouts, for the most part, they can't ever get internet when they're looking at a guy in the middle of Alabama on a backfield in high school and they want to start to chart or start to write down some grades for these guys. We don't have the opportunity to do that. So we've actually now created the ability to work offline in partnership with Google. There's now the ability to bring in the functionality where you can be writing, editing, creating reports, looking at data, and then as soon as you get back to that hotel, as soon as you get on a Wi-Fi, all of it will sync right back up. So we'll go through an example. For now, I've loaded Dustin Pedroia. The integration of data and video is what's key to a lot of the system. So last season, we just took, thanks to, I know some BAM guys are here, Corey in the back. Thanks to BAM, we're pulling in all of the broadcast feeds from the game. And we had all the pitcher and batter matchup video 20 minutes after the game. The days of people waiting 2-3 days to get that video are over. Now, what our team's done, and with the help of BAM, we've parsed all of that data. Every event that occurs in a Major League Baseball game is now tagged, tied, and clipped to that player. For example, Dustin Pedroia. I want to look at him from a defensive perspective. Even more so, I want to look at him from his ability to field bunts that he was able to then throw a runner out. So we tie all of that metadata to every single play, every single event, every single pitch, tremendous amounts of data, and that data is all customizable by the client. I then come on down, take a look, and say, here's every bunt that he fielded last year. Show me his defensive characteristics, his positioning, and take me to the video and the associated data with all of that, so it helps me paint a picture of Dustin Pedroia as a fielder. Maybe I want to look at Dustin Pedroia, every double play he was involved in last year, where he was the recipient of the ball. How does he carry? How does he move across the bag? What foot does he plant with? What are his mechanics like? Maybe I want to look at Dustin Pedroia from an assist perspective. When he's the second player in a play to touch the ball from the right fielder to the center fielder and he throws to first, second, third, or home, what's his transition look like? Any event is now cut, tagged, logged, and integrated into a scouting system, into a data system, into an analytical system. I'm sure many of you have seen this if you've been here in prior years. This is a customized scouting dashboard. And I'm not going to drive too deep into it, because like I said, I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet. But basically, it's the ability to integrate all of those pieces together. Your scout is in that field in Alabama. He's going to take some pictures or capture some video. Maybe he's going to get a physical report from a medical doctor. He wants to upload. He wants to attach those pieces. You can all do it within the Bloomberg system. It's all going to get sent right back up using the latest and greatest in technology to a cloud. Cloud's going to pull it right back down and be in that GM's hands within minutes, within seconds. So with that said, I will try to make it a very interesting conversation. We have Kyle Evans here today, who is the special assistant to the GM and president of the Chicago Cubs. And I'd like to open it up after I ask him some poking and prodding questions about baseball and technology. We'll try to not make it so much about Bloomberg Sports, and we'll open it up more so to a conversation about, given Kyle's career in baseball, in the front office, where he sees the future of baseball and the intersection of technology going, and if he wants to shamelessly plug how the Cubs use Bloomberg, that would work as well.
We didn't talk about that as much before.
So I'm going to take a seat and get a little bit more comfortable with you.
If this works.
It does.
Are we good?
We are. So I guess the first question that I'd want to ask you, because we're all here because we love baseball and we love data and analytics, and technology plays a big role in that, is data. On the topic of data, there is an ever-changing field of data in baseball right now. I feel like I've been doing this at Bloomberg Sports now for close to 6 years, and every single year, the options of data providers and the massive amounts of data in the Bloomberg system and how do we pick what data goes in and keeping track of all that is very difficult. You have radar tracking technology, video tracking technology, you have people going out watching games and tagging specific defensive data, minor league data, international data. Can you talk to us a little bit about your perspective on how you keep up with all the different data choices? How do you use data to evaluate, and how do you think data overall has been moving the last few years?
Well, I mean, I think just clearly the size of this kind of speaks to how robust it's become, to how much has become available to us. And certainly it's something, I think, you know, it's hard for me to speak to all of it. You know, realistically, like having a panel of Chris Moore, our new director of R&D, and myself, and people on our amateur side, all that stuff would be able to expose, you know, everyone to a lot more. But I think realistically, you know, we've taken meetings with all of the data providers that we, you know, that we can to try to see the new products that everybody comes out with every year. I think it's a constant balance for us between the desire for information, and I think that you know, the people that I work for are, you know, are absolutely information hoarders, are seeking, you know, anything and everything that they can find that gives them more information to make more quality, more informed decisions. But I think the reality of it is we also have to strike the balance of what things we can really use and what things we have the people in-house that are working for our club to be able to actually leverage that into some kind of advantage for us. So speaking directly from a lot of my, you know, a lot of my interaction, I work very closely with Advanced Scouting. So for that, for those of you that don't know, that's kind of our preparation for the teams that we're getting ready to play. So we're working hand in hand with our coaching staff, hand in hand, hopefully as much as possible with our players, to try to provide them with information about the teams that they're getting ready to play. So a huge part, you know, as we talk about the importance of things that we can use, in advanced scouting, it becomes absolutely essential to have pieces of information that are actionable. Things that it doesn't do us any good to know how well a guy hits a curveball on the day that Jeff Samardzija is throwing, because the reality of it is he's not equipped to attack that weakness anyway. So we try to take a very specific look at as many pieces of information as we possibly can that our guys can actually turn into something on the field. So it's kind of our focus in that area. But certainly, I mean, we're always always on the lookout, always trying to understand the landscape of the data that's available, and constantly trying to, you know, trying to put ourselves in the right position to leverage as much of that as possible.
So on the topic of data, I think it's also be interesting to look at the emergence of specifically biomechanical data. Because as we look at Bloomberg Sports, what they're doing in Europe, it's fascinating. On the pitch, companies as big as Adidas and as small as two guys in a garage are putting tracking devices either on players or during practice, actually during the game, in cleats, on their backs. Do you think that biomechanical data will grow in baseball? And if so, how do you see that changing the landscape of data collection?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think absolutely. Like, speaking from the front office side and the discussions that I've had with the guys in our R&D department, I think it's absolutely one of the things that's most intriguing to us moving forward, because it's something that, you know, for years, you know, in the offices as well as everybody in this room has been having the debate between the defender who has great metrics because he's positioned really well and the guy who actually covers more ground. And I think that the only real way for us to dig in and answer that question is, you know, someone actually tracking where he started and where he finished when he made that play, doing those kinds of things. So I think it's something that for all of us, we're really excited. I think that realistically, there's probably a lot of pause, a lot of skepticism about waiting to make sure that we really trust. You know, I think there was a, you know, boom of pitch effects data and, you know, and all of those kinds of things, and everyone had to temper expectations a little bit until we felt really good about, okay, the, you know, the data is the same through different ballparks and all of those kinds of things. And I think that you know, really, really trusting the accuracy of the data is essential for us. But I think there's a tremendous amount of excitement about it. And part of the reason that baseball may be behind, quite frankly, on this is there's just, I think, you know, I have a friend who worked for a company called Activio. He got an MBA in Sweden, went to work for a company that had been, you know, that had spent several years tracking, as you said, you know, football players on the pitch or actually through their practice and monitoring heart rates and doing all those kinds of things. And they were kind of exploring things in the U.S. and he reached out, you know, specifically about baseball. And I think it's a little bit unique in that I don't know that there's the same physical benefit to being, you know, a really high-level endurance athlete in baseball as there are in other places. I think that conditioning for baseball is very unique. Even the, you know, starting pitchers who have the, you know, highest necessity level for endurance of anybody, you know, of anybody on a baseball field, even that is very unique in terms of how they exert themselves and all of that. And so I think the fact that other sports have kind of started in that place and transitioned to on-field, I think that the growth of the ability to do things on-field is going to spurn a lot of interest in baseball.
And so do you think that it's the quality of data? Is it the type of data? Is it how many people you have analyzing data? Is it the products that you use to analyze the data? Mm-hmm. What's the right combination? Is there a right combination in analysis?
You could probably get a different answer from a lot of different people on that. For me, it's really about having the right people in place to be able to actually do something with the data. So, yes, I think that, you know, we kind of spoke before, I think the accuracy of the data is really important, but the reality of it is the right people can help you to control for consistent inaccuracies in data and those kinds of things. So I think that for me, the most important part still comes back to having the right people. So the right people in place who understand particular sets of data, understand how to maneuver those and make those, you know, something that's meaningful to everyone, you know, to everyone in the organization, I think is really essential. And certainly, you know, products absolutely play a role in that. You know, products absolutely help us to organize information and to make, you know, make information accessible to people all over the world. All of those kinds of things, absolutely. But I still think at the end of the day, it comes back to people for me.
How has the emergence, something that being at the heart of it, Bloomberg being a technology company that we have to keep our finger on at all times, the changing dynamics of technology. Mm-hmm. How has technology changed your everyday routine and what you do?
It's really fun. I'm like one of the least equipped people in terms of my, you know, 8-year tenure in professional baseball. You know, certainly there are people who could tell much more elaborate stories on the differences between when they started in baseball and what things are currently. But I mean, I can tell you just from a handful of years ago to where we are right now, you know, the amount of time, you know, when I get asked to go and look at this player or that player, you know, my process is almost always starting at the data, digging in and trying to find, okay, what the long-term, what this guy's perceived strengths, weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. There's a completely different amount of data available, which means significantly more time even just starting that process. And then from there, I always try to, obviously if it's someone that I can get out and see in person, then I'd always love to do that. But for the guys that it's a really quick, hey, can you go take a look at this, that kind of thing, then it's immediately, okay, find my strengths and weaknesses. Now I need to go through and find the video and try to determine why these are strengths and weaknesses. Are these things that we have coaches who are able to address, or, you know, are these things that we believe are, you know, a flaw that this guy's always going to have? Those kinds of things. So now we delve into the difference in the amount of video that's available. And, you know, and quite frankly, the information about the metadata attached to the video that we have is completely different at this point, too. So where we used to be able to go in and find, you know, a handful of places where we had played against somebody or anything like that, we have immediately available all kinds of video on anything that's happened. And, you know, and honestly, I mean, it's become easier and easier to get video of players all over the world. So, you know, when we're...
Which is actually a really good segue to my next question.
Okay.
Players all over the world. I think something that the Cubs, that everyone in this room has probably read about, is the close attention and the growth of the international market and how that's been an integral piece of the strategy of the Cubs front office in growing their roster. Something that I found very interesting now frequenting international teams is the emergence of a lot of really quality Major League Baseball-ready talent. How do you analyze this information? How do you get that data? How do you make decisions based on players from Cuba versus players from Venezuela versus players from Taiwan and Korea? Could you elaborate a little bit on the analysis that goes into all of the international signings and attention that the Cubs have given these players over the past few years?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a little different. I think it's a little different in any market, and certainly separating international amateurs from international professional players is really important, because on the international amateur market, we're still tremendously reliant on the scouts that we have in those countries and their ability to go in and see a lot of different players and tell us at the very least which players are the best players in their country, which guys are the most exciting to them. Now, it's a challenge. It's a new challenge to them with all the information that's out there and everything that's shared. Those guys are now digging in and trying to find players when they are 13 and, you know, 12 and 13 years old, and trying to identify guys that we're going to track over the next, over the next several years. Now, the one thing that it has, you know, that certainly systems like this and the emergence of video and the ability to share video, all over the world, has just put us in a place where we can do a more effective job of comparing players across country borders. So we can look at the shortstop in Venezuela and the shortstop in Panama and the shortstop in the Dominican Republic, and we can read our reports from our scouts there, and we can watch the video that our scouts have recorded and sent in to us there, and try to make a comparison for, you know, spending our money there the most effectively. On the professional side, I think it's different, and, you know, certainly our R&D guys could speak, you know, much more to the process of digging in and finding any data that's possibly available on players that are playing in international leagues professionally, trying to collect that and trying to build a process around what that actually tells us about what kind of a player that they could be at the major league level. So, that is, well, I'm sure it would be that could probably be a topic for this all by itself that everyone would really dig into and have a good time with. I can't speak as much to that, but I can tell you that I know that those guys have dug in aggressively with building models for making use of all of that data. And I can tell you that we have people all over the world collecting data for us of these players playing in these leagues and filtering as much of it into our system as we can.
So you've got scouts all over the world, you've got pro scouts, you've got amateur scouts. Yourself, you do a lot of scouting of a different kind, the advanced kind. A very controversial question, I guess, so I'm going to put you on the hot seat a little bit. What is the right balance? Is it still a 50-50 of data analysis and scouting? Is it 65-35? Has technology come far enough where scouts aren't needed anymore? What is the balance in the front office of taking in information?
Yeah, I mean, that one has always been interesting to me, because I still, there's still a part of me that really feels that scouting as it's based is still dealing with a data source. And the most old school teams in the business are, you know, recording grades that they feel are representative of, you know, of the skills of players and comparing those against each other. And, you know, while it's certainly simplistic and little or none of it has to do with, you know, the performance that those players put up, it still, to me, you know, is just another data source. So I do think that, you know, baseball is still a data driven. It just becomes, again, back to the people and having, you know, and knowing the people that you have in your organization and what, you know, what level of data you're most equipped to deal with. So whether that's, you know, whether that's 50-50, whether it's, you know, whether it's something different, I think is probably a little different for every organization. But I just think that at the end of the day, as long as the game is being played by human beings, we're going to be at an advantage if we have human beings in the ballpark that are digging on the information and the, you know, I mean, we talk a ton about players' makeup and, you know, what makes this guy tick. And I think at the end of the day, understanding the difference between, you know, okay, hey, this guy struggled for 2 weeks and we happen to have somebody in the ballpark that knows that, you know, he was going through a lot of, like, personal turmoil off the field right there, and this is something that's a blip on the radar, and he's going to get past that, and he's going to be back, versus just having to guess at those things. I think we're always making more informed decisions with people out there helping us gather that information as well.
So we've had, at Bloomberg Sports, working across so many teams, we've had a lot of creative ideas about how to equip scouts with technology. We've had some eccentric ideas about how to equip scouts with technology. Where do you see technology enhancing a scout's ability to scout? Or perhaps not enhancing, maybe taking away from their ability to scout. Is there a way that technology can fit into the old school, sitting behind home plate, pen and paper charting a game that will help them do
their job? I do think certainly, you know, obviously the ability to transition toward those guys being able to put physical reports in much more quickly and easily makes all of that information accessible to decision makers in the office much more quickly. So it is something I think where they're already relying on technology. Our amateur scouts are all equipped with, you know, handheld video cameras, and, you know, we didn't talk about a player in our draft room last year that we didn't have some video of to sit and look at, you know, as we discussed them. So all of the players that were in our database, everyone that we were considering picking over 40 rounds of the draft, we had video of because someone, you know, went out there and gathered that. So I do think that we're kind of moving toward technology. I still think that, you know, for me, and, you know, and maybe there's a part of me that's still really attached to just the human element of it, but I just think at the end of the day, there is, you know, one of the things that I love about baseball is the fact that I feel like I can go to work every day and I can learn something new about the game almost every day, and I can learn something new about the game from people that I never would have expected it. So I can chat baseball with one of our clubhouse attendants and hear something about, you know, something that one of our players did, you know, a long time ago that was part of his routine that seemed like a silly story to him that really makes a ton of sense to me as to why somebody would end up doing that. And so I just think that the reality of it is there's a ton of knowledge for us to be gained from a lot of these people who have been around the game for a really long time, who have seen a ton of stuff. And it's about trying to merge things together the right way and take, you know, all of this influx of information and, you know, everything that these really good baseball people who have been around a long time, and trying to create the right, you know, trying to draw up the right picture with all of that information that, you know, that tells us clearly what guys are.
So aside from Bloomberg Sports, where do you see technology going in the next 5 years? If you could have one thing that the technology world could provide you or the Cubs front office, what would you want that one thing to be?
I still think that realistically part of the reason why all of the biomechanical, like all of these things are really intriguing to me from an injury prevention standpoint. As we can go through and track things that guys do in their swings, things that guys do through their pitching mechanics, all of these things, the more that we can dig into that and the more that we can help them. And we're doing that some by grabbing our guys and sending people to the Sports Medicine Institute and, you know, doing all of these things to try to break down deliveries, to try to help guys strengthen the parts of their body that that are going to be under more stress. I think that continuing to be able to grow and trying to be able to make the allowance for the difference between, okay, this is how somebody practices, and when they get out on the field in the middle of competition, this is the way they do stuff. Being able to dig into more of that is huge. I mean, I think that it benefits everybody. It benefits the, maybe I'm partial to it because I've got, multiple scars from when I was playing, but I just think that the more information that we can have that way, the more that we can keep guys healthy, the more it's going to be about really identifying the right players and the right human beings, and, and it would be awesome to be able to eliminate the injury risk, at least some.
So, Kyle Evans, you are off my hot seat, but I'm gonna open it up to
where it gets uncomfortable.
Yes,
right here.
Absolutely. I'm gonna open it up to all of you if there are any questions in the audience, either for myself or for Kyle. And I strongly suggest you grill him.
I was just trying to look around the room to make sure I wasn't gonna get something really incriminating here.
Kyle, what are the problems with wearing this jacket in public?
I wondered how much of this we were going to
get. Is that I am constantly assaulted by baseball fans, albeit most of them Cardinal fans, who ask the question, how are the Cubs going to be? You've got the prospect coming up through the system. Is it going to be like every other year over the last 100 years that they've come up through the system and it just hasn't worked out? How does information like this, particularly Bloomberg, help me feel more confident that in the next 2 to 3 years we're going to see the evidence on the field that these guys who show all this potential right now actually are going to make it to a level where they're going to be stars in Major League Baseball?
I think it's a great question. I think that one of the unique things about getting a chance to go in and see a lot of these young guys work on a day in and day out basis is kind of the changing of the culture that we've had over our minor league system. Now, I can't speak in depth as to what things were like before I got there. I was with those guys in Boston, and certainly feel strongly about the fact that the success that they've had, is certainly a reflection of some of the people who were there as much as the people who are there, and not a knock on, all of those guys I think are really good people doing really good things there. But I do think that, I firmly believe in the process of, these guys coming up are what make things sustainable over a long period of time. Now, the difference for me is that these guys are coming up right now craving more information. They have more information at their fingertips. They're starting to understand. We're trying to make things available to them at the minor league level to try to create players who crave information, create players who look for an advantage in the guys that they're getting ready to play. So I think that we really hope that that's something that will be a separator for those guys outside of the fact that they are really, really talented and fun to watch.
Hey, Kyle. Interestingly enough, there was a panel here on Friday where Brandon McCarthy was asked how many players in the major leagues really understood most of these analytics.
Right.
And his answer was basically around 11%.
Okay.
My question is, how accurate is that? And what do the Cubs do to get that information down to the players to not only evaluate them, but to improve what they're doing on the field?
See, that's interesting, by the way, that he went with 11%, Brandon McCarthy, being a statistical-minded player. He didn't go with 10% or 15%.
Yeah, definitely.
He's really got it.
Definitely
down.
Would have gone to it. I'm curious as to why he went with 11 rather than 10 there. But maybe there were like three guys that grabbed him on the way in, that really changed the way he felt about it. Exactly. He very well may have. I wouldn't put it past him. I think that realistically, we try to get to know our guys as much as possible. I will say that, especially on the advanced scouting side, we try and fail a number of times. We bounce things off of our coaches and players just to see how responsive they are to things. I think one of the things that we have found over time is that, especially this generation of player is growing up very, very visually oriented. So I do think the more things that we can present to them, graphically and in some kind of a chart or something that makes sense to them, We've had a lot of success trying to attack things that way. So in terms of taking a big set of data and mining it down and telling this guy, okay, this does exactly this against, you know, in this situation or against this thing, it tends to be a challenge with a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys that feel like, you know, feel like they need to play the game to their strengths, and it gets, you know, can be hard to convince guys to really try to attack weaknesses. So I think that, you know, we do try to make a push to do more things visually, to try to find different ways to present information to them, to try to put things in a metric where, you know, whether it be putting things on the plus minus scale where 100 is average, or whether it be, you know, trying to take things down to working, you know, working off runs and above and below zero, or, you know, any of those things. We'll try a lot of different tactics just to try to put things in front of guys. And I do think that it'll be interesting to see, because I think that this generation of players is growing up more, you know, where, you know, even like my generation of players still grew up with like baseball cards and a certain set of numbers. And I can tell you that 300, you know, that guys who batted 300 were really, really good. This is a generation of players that's going to grow up, and they're going to have heard about what Mike Trout's WAR was, whether they, you know, whether they wanted to or not. They're going to have heard about all of these things, and I think that, you know, I think players are going to grow up different. So I hope that we work toward a generation of players where, you know, Brandon McCarthy's number would continue to grow year after year.
And I would just add to that, and I agree with you very much. We have a tool that we call Pitch Review for the iPad. And it is basically a tool that's customized for every single player. Basically, everybody owns an iPad at this point. Now a player, all they need to do is go back to their locker or on an airplane or anywhere, and they pull up video that is assigned to them, pull up video that's customized to them, and be able to filter through, as you can see with Pedroia, anything really, and query, and do their own advanced scouting and look at themselves. And in the last few years, I mean, guys like CJ Wilson, Matt Kemp, who use us, we have had a tremendous amount of growth on that player front, working with players. I think in the first year we worked with a couple dozen players, and now we're over 300 Major League Baseball players that are diving into this tool every day. I get a big kick out of looking at the usage reports and seeing kind of who's logged in today, and are they pitching tomorrow, are they catching tomorrow. It's really interesting, but I would agree. I think from Bloomberg's perspective, especially working so closely with the teams and the players, we see a lot of players show a lot of interest, especially in the analysis side of the video side.
You know, I'm interested in, you know, the analytics. It's fantastic with the information that we're able to get and the technologies you come up with. But you know, I look at a person, which is a ball player, mind, body, and spirit. And we're over here with in nutrition, we're over here with statistics, we're over here with biomechanics. And I see it as a three-pronged chair, and we have one prong. It's not going to stay very well. We need to deal with, I think, the mental aspects and the spiritual part of a person. We still have that, and I think people have talked about those, but briefly, I guess mainly because this is an analytics conference, we're talking about technology. But how does your team balance that? Because it is a person. You know, it is somebody whose mother might be sick. It is somebody who's not doing well right now. So how do you deal with the mental aspect and the physical and the spiritual pieces?
No, I think that's all very, very valid. I have to be careful, because I know there are guys that work with other teams that are in the room, and I'd like to think that some of the fact, you know, some of what the Cubs do and some of the attention that the Cubs pay to the players that are in our system, and the attention that we give to, you know, not just the mental side of the game, but the mental health of our players, and what's going on with them. I think it's a day-to-day challenge for our player development staff to make sure that they're digging in and getting to know these guys as much as possible, and trying to maintain the fact that they're not, you know, that they're human beings that are going through things. And I think that we also place a tremendous amount of emphasis, maybe more so than anything else that our amateur scouts are tasked with doing, is going in and getting to know what kind of person, what, you know, guys are in the amateur draft, so that we really understand the person that we're going in and drafting. And I think one of the things that I'm most proud of as a Cubs employee is to look at, you know, again, we're looking at this series of young players, and it's not a knock on. My son wears an Anthony Rizzo jersey, and I am incredibly proud of that because, you know, I've gotten a chance to see, you know, gotten a chance to see Riz and really, like, believe in the person that guy is, and, you know, and I'm really excited about that. But I also think, like, this generation of guys that are coming up are really, like, really quality people. And I think that's one of the things that I'm most proud of, and one of the things that, you know, hopefully we continue to push to do is to, you know, to really get to know these guys individually.
And I would just add, I just came back from spring training in Okinawa, which was fascinating. It was the first time I've ever been there. And I was talking to the GM of one of these teams, and he said to me, you don't have anything in your system that can tell me about the spirituality of a player, the mind state of a player. How can we analyze that? And I said, well, how do you currently handle that? And he said, we take 2 days out of every spring training as a group. Wives and families are left behind, media is left behind, and we go for a two-day camping trip up to this mountain. And it's a very team-building, mental, spiritual trip where they bring in different religious leaders, they bring in psychologists, they bring in all different people, motivational speakers, to talk to their players. And not only is a chemistry team-building experience, but it is a mental and emotional experience for these players. So I thought that was very interesting and a very creative approach to dealing with players in that way. Looks like everyone's ready to go to happy hour. Is there one more? Okay.
I'm just curious about the logistics and the legal ramifications of obtaining particularly the video data. Like, if you're capturing data from, say, a Cubs game, do you have to have a licensing and a usage agreement with, say, WGN? Or, like, if you're capturing data from the College World Series, who's involved in licensing and permission data with that? Is it like the NCAA network that's broadcasting it? And out of curiosity, has there ever been any data from which you have been refused that they wouldn't give it to you?
Sure, those are really good questions. So first of all, I would actually love to kick this over to Corey Schwartz in the back of the room. He could probably answer it a lot easier than I could. But video data statistics of Major League Baseball, I know we've all seen this at the end of a game, the express written consent of the commissioner's office, it belongs to Major League Baseball. So WGN, for example, or Comcast, or Fox, all of that video is actually the rights and property of Major League Baseball due to our terrific relationship with Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Advanced Media. We're privileged to have that information in our system. Then there's the other component. There's the video that you saw in the enterprise solution that teams use. And now with the advent of this video recording data integration system, that video will actually be proprietary to each team. So let's say Kyle sends one of his scouts down to the Dominican to watch an academy game. That video will actually remain property of the Chicago Cubs and live in a place that is highly secure and permissioned for the Chicago Cubs. So each team will actually have a mixture of Major League Baseball approved video and their own proprietary video in the system as well. And your second question, remind me again, what was that?
Have you ever had any data for which you were refused?
Trying to think. I don't think so. I don't think there's been data that we have been asked for by a club that a club has not been able to give us. We look at ourselves pretty much as the keepers of this data, not the owners of this data. And so when teams bestow upon us the responsibility to manage their data and to integrate their data and to build tools for them to analyze this data, we certainly do not maintain the ownership rights of that data. So I think teams, and it definitely takes time, teams have to become comfortable with Bloomberg and come to grips with the fact they're handing over data and it's going to be kept in a secure and privatized space. part of our system. I mean, Bloomberg LP handles Goldman Sachs' trading strategies while also handling Morgan Stanley. So the level of security within our system is absurd, actually. It's really high. There's 13 different levels of permissioning within the Bloomberg Sports system where different levels of users can have access to different pieces of information. So we take that security very seriously. Thank you very much.